Praise God. Father, we just thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you for every person that's called on Jesus' name throughout this week already. I thank you for all the miraculous healings that have taken place, that have been for your glory, Father, that you've been glorified. Lord, I thank you for the people that have been empowered and are stepping into new realms of ministry and new levels of working with you to help people. And Father, we just thank you that the bottom line is the ministry of reconciliation, Lord. We thank you, Father, for drawing all men unto you by your Spirit, reconciling people unto you, Lord. And we just thank you for all of these things. And Father, we thank you for not only what's taking place in this conference and in this series of meetings, but Lord, that the people that go out from here, that they will do great things and it will continue, Father, from this day. We thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Good to see y'all tonight. Praise God. Well, I had one testimony that I had heard from Jocelyn and Fabiola. I wanted to add to the testimonies for today. They went out and we talked in Insight. Fabiola is one of our Insight students. We talked last night about a little bit about the Holy Spirit, how he helps us, how he's a co-laborer with us. And they were talking with a woman, and Fabiola said she felt the Holy Spirit prompt her that talk with this woman about being filled with the Holy Ghost. And they prayed with her on the street, and she got filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. On the street. And that was the second person that Fabiola prayed with this week to get filled with the Holy Spirit. On the street. Amen. And then if I, amen. Now, I just wanted for the Colorado people here, just a thought I was having as we were singing and stuff. You know, the idea could be you get introduced to a lot of new things, you know, and you're here. Well, that's Georgia, you know, this is Augusta. But, you know, I mean, it's the South, it's the Bible Belt and all that. But I could say, you know, from experience that we've seen this all over the world, literally. We've done it in Russia. We've done it in Ohio, where I'm from. We've done it in Pennsylvania. And the results are always the same. Amen. We've seen people empowered. We've seen people saved. We've seen people healed, of course. We've seen all these things happen everywhere. So it works in Colorado. Everybody say it works in Colorado. It works in Denver. Amen. You know, because you could have that thought. Well, you know, that's here. That's in this environment. That's this and that. And that's these kind of things. But I'm telling you, it works everywhere. Like I said, if it works in Russia, it'll work wherever you're from. I only had one day to kind of teach everything, like the things that you know, similar to the things you guys are learning one day in Siberia. I was out in Siberia, but they gave me 6 hours straight to do it. So that was nice. Followed by a 3-hour miracle service that night. Praise the Lord. So by the time I got to the service that night, you know, this was in the middle of 13 cities in 13 city series, and we traveled 1,500 miles across Siberia to do this series of meetings, and it's a different city every night, you know, you're traveling. This particular meeting was right in the middle. We did 6 hours, you know, of leadership training and like what you're doing today, 6 hours of like just, it was very like the morning classes. I give life classes. 6 hours of that. And then at night we had a 3-hour miracle service, you know, in the midst of traveling across Siberia. So that night I'm sitting there and I would read, you know, I'd have to wait for my interpreter to interpret it into Russian. So I was reading this passage that we were studying from that night, and I would read it, and as he would interpret it, I was falling asleep. And then I'd wake up when he was done, and then I'd read a little more, and then he would interpret it, and I'd start falling asleep. So I told my friend Mark Bowen, a friend of mine, that story, and he said, "So you could do it in your sleep." I said, "Yeah, hallelujah. I can do a miracle evangelism in my sleep, praise God. I've proved it." So, but it worked there. So in that teaching session was a guy by the name of Roman from, I think he was from Krasnoyarsk, or he was from somewhere in Siberia, you know. And he just got it, man. He just said, yeah, he hooked up with it. He left those sessions. I mean, that very day, they're out there, they're leaving the sessions, driving somewhere. They see a guy hitchhiking with a cane. He had a cane or crutches. I don't remember which. Crutches. And he's hitchhiking out there. So they stop and pick him up, Roman and one of his friends. And they start witnessing to him. They're stirred up from the classes, you know. They start witnessing to him. He says, "I don't understand." And you'll find that sometime in Russia, that people, you know, 75 years of atheism, of state-funded atheism. Some people, just the concept of God, it's just kind of foreign to them. And he said, I don't understand. And they said, well, we'll just show you. And they said, amen, we'll just show you, they said. And they prayed for his leg, and he was healed, and he walked out of that car with his crutches over his shoulder, amen, accepted Jesus Christ. That's a pretty good illustrated sermon, you know, to tell him about that. But it worked in Russia, you know. Then we've heard so many stories from Roman since then. He's prayed for a man who the doctor said would never walk, and he walked, and things like that. Jesus is alive, amen. And it worked there, and I'm trying to think of some other cities. Maine, they said it wouldn't work in Maine. They said you couldn't do it in New England, you know. The pastors we worked with up in New England, they said, not here, you know. Everybody, there's a prize for the hardest place to minister. You'd think there was a competition. Everybody said, oh, it won't work here. It's too hard here. Well, we went up to Maine. They said it wouldn't work in New England. New Englanders are hard, and it's difficult there. And we went out one day, I think just for a couple hours. We took 17 people out or something like that for the first time. Saw 80 people make decisions for Jesus. I mean, just, you know. And then we saw a 17-year-old girl prayed with a woman. She was instantly healed. All the pain left her body. In Maine, praise God. Jocelyn prayed with a young girl. She was 14 years old, and she started to share the gospel with her. She said, I don't believe any of that. I'm an atheist. She's like, I believe in science. And Jocelyn just didn't stop, you know, just kept on talking to her. And she said, well, can I pray with you about anything? And then this kind atheist girl let Jocelyn pray with her about something. That was nice. I always think that's funny. I've had that happen several times. You know, she start to share the gospel with somebody. You know, I'm an atheist. Can I pray for you? Sure, you know. So just a gesture of kindness, I guess. But so Jocelyn started to pray for her. And the presence of God just ministered to her. And Jocelyn had her eyes closed, and she was holding the girl's hands, and she felt like tears falling on her arms. Jocelyn did, and the girl was crying. And Jocelyn said, did you sense that? She said, yeah, that was the presence of God. He loves you. And so she called on Jesus' name, went from atheist to believer in about 3 minutes, you know, amen. And then she took Jocelyn and said, let's go to try to take her to minister to her parents. I mean, they made that much of a believer out of her. Come with me. Let's go see my parents, who were not available. But the thing was in her heart, what, you know, she wanted to go to them and bring Jocelyn to them. So something happened. And that was in Maine, where they said it would never work. Praise God. And then we were in, Jason and I, Jason's here tonight, right? Jason's here. We went to Phoenix. And Mike Harding, the guy, we were out in Phoenix, Arizona, and Mike wasn't really, he was kind of skeptical, remember? I don't know if it'll work here. How many people did we see saved in Phoenix? I don't remember. Yeah, we went out like 2 days or 3 days or something like that. 150 people, so we went out and ministered in Phoenix. They said it wouldn't work in Phoenix. Well, it worked in Phoenix, praise God. And one of the testimonies, I told this story last night in Insight. I was out with a woman in Phoenix, and just to show you, there's no limit to how God can help us. We were walking out, we saw this young teenage couple, and went up to him, and I shared the gospel with them, and man, they just had the brakes on. They were, I mean, their body language and everything. I said, you know, if you died tonight or 100 years from now, do you know if you'd go to heaven? No. Do you want to know? No. Can I pray with you about anything? No. You know, just like, get away. I mean, that was everything. So I'm about to shake the dust off my feet, you know, like just, I'm like, well, praise God, you know. I'm thinking, I don't have anything else to say. I'm turning, and I start to walk away, and the woman who was with me, she was a little older than me, I think in her early 40s, I turn away, and I'm about to walk away, and she says, you practice witchcraft, she said to the woman. Boom, like that. She said, yeah. She had her attention at that moment. And then she said like 4 or 5 other things. I don't remember what they were. I was still in shock over the first one, you know. She's like, bam, 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 bam. And to make a long story short, led them both to the Lord. I mean, divine, just by divine revelation, she knew some things that were going on in their life. Amen. Well, God will help us. The Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us that we're co-laborers with Him. I always say it this way: evangelism isn't something you do for God; it's something you do with God. Amen. And it's a partnership. So it's we need His help. But it worked in Phoenix. Did it work in Phoenix, Jay? Amen. It worked in Phoenix. I can't. There was other places: Erie, Pennsylvania, and where else, babe? 100% results on one of our outreaches in Erie, Pennsylvania. This is the Rust Belt, not the Bible Belt, the Rust Belt, Erie, Pennsylvania. You know, and every single person that we approached, 100% one of the days on our outreaches, there were 0 rejectors. Every person called on Jesus' name. Amen. It was funny because one of the people, that I had gone, it was the pastor's wife from the church had gone up to first. And the guy just, I mean, it was so strange, just rejected me. Just like, was like, no, it was me. I went to him first. Yeah, he just rejected me. He just like, as soon as I started to start to talk to him, he just backing away and shaking his head, you know, went over. And then later on in the day, the pastor's wife met the same guy and led him to the Lord like in tears. I don't know what happened between visit one and two, you know. I wasn't the person apparently for the job, but somebody else got the job done. Amen. So, it'll work, because the thing is, it's not based on any natural thing about down here. It's based on biblical principle. It's based on the word. Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God. Amen. For salvation. It is the power unto salvation. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power. God does confirm his word with the signs that accompany it. The name of Jesus is the same everywhere, every nation of the world. It's all the same. These principles that we apply here, they're biblical principles. It's not like some climate thing that we depend on for success. That we depend on God for success and his word for success. Amen? And it works. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, let's turn to John 14. John 14. And we'll start in verse 6. John 14, 6. And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We talked about this scripture a little bit last night. Jesus said, I am the way. Everybody say the way. Jesus didn't say, I am a way. Amen. He said, I am the way. Some people think, well, you know, there's so many ways, there's so many different religions. The thing is, if Jesus wasn't the way, the death, burial, and resurrection would have been in vain. It would have been pointless. It would have been senseless. It would have been a waste of a life of time, a waste of hundreds of years of prophecy. It would have been absolutely unnecessary if Jesus was not the way. Isn't that right? But it says here, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Blah, 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 blah. It's that old King James. Praise God. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you? And yes, hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? Amen. We'll just stop there. I want to read verse 9 again, though. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? Everybody say, he that's seen Jesus has seen the Father. So what I want to talk to you tonight about is, what does God look like? Amen? What does he look like? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus Christ was the expressed will of the Father. Amen? Let's look at another scripture tonight in the book of Matthew. Everybody say it. If I've seen Jesus, I've seen the Father. It's important to remember that. Let's read Matthew chapter 15, verses 30 and 31. Matthew chapter 15, verses 30 and 31. And this is, as you turn there, this is one of about 20 general accounts of Jesus' ministry recorded in the Gospels. And they're all almost exactly the same. They all pretty much read the same way. And I just picked out one of the 20. I've taken services, and we'll probably do it in Insight, where I go through every general account, you know, of Jesus' ministry. But just, they're all pretty much the same, just to show that the Bible belabors the point that what we're about to read happened everywhere Jesus went, and it happened again and again and again. And his ministry always looked like this. It wasn't just on a good day. It wasn't just in a certain place. But this is always what Jesus looked like. And so, Matthew 15, starting in verse 30, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Everybody say, he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be made whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Amen. Well, this is something that we talked about a little bit last night in school too. They glorified the God of Israel. Isn't that nice? You know, some people, they always think, they always want to, you know, they always want to come against miracle ministry because they say it glorifies man. You know, it says because man could be puffed up and get into pride because of miracles. It's actually the exact opposite. It's when there's miracles is when man receives the least glory. Isn't that right? When there's miracles is when man receives the least glory, because everybody knows what just happened is impossible for man. In fact, Jesus in John 14:12, the scripture that is a foundation for ministering to the sick, he said, whosoever believeth in me, the works that I do, would they do also in greater works, for I go unto the Father. Whatsoever you command in my name, that I will do. Amen. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's how the Father is glorified in the Son. When you command in Jesus' name, do the works in Jesus. He didn't say, man, then you'll be glorified. He said, the Father will be glorified in the Son. He said, that's how the Father is glorified. And you'll see this again and again throughout the stories of Jesus, that when miracles take place, nobody says, nobody starts exalting a man or a person. It says the God of, in one account, it says they lifted up the God of Israel. They glorified the God of Israel. Here we see, it says that, again, they said that they glorified the God of Israel. Jesus said that he'd be glorified if we command in his name. And really, when God receives the least glory is when somebody is ministering totally out of the natural, totally out of the arm of the flesh, totally what they could do with their own strength, because nobody sees God and God receives no glory. Isn't that right? I mean, you just look at it and you say, well, okay, whatever, but that person's, it's much easier to say that person's a skilled orator, or that person is, you know, whatever, that person is a nice person or whatever. But when miracles happen, people fall on their knees and they say only God could do that. We'll talk a little bit about that in a little bit. So here, this account, though, it's always the same. There's 20 general accounts, like I said, of Jesus' ministry, and they're all the same. They bring the sick to Jesus, and they're healed, and then the crowds gather. They glorify God. God receives the glory. Everybody say, God receives the glory. People are blessed. People are helped. And it was that way all the time in Jesus' ministry. That it was always recorded that way. Even in when he went to his hometown of Nazareth, that's one of those accounts. And that's recorded as, you know, the least successful day of Jesus' ministry, because the Bible tells us there he could do no mighty works. But I think sometimes we overemphasize the what lacked on that day, because even that day, even in Nazareth, the Bible tells us that Jesus laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. The Bible tells us that even in Nazareth, he had 100% results, and every person that came to him for help got exactly what they came for. Amen. Every single person, just like everywhere else. Yeah, some people stayed home in Nazareth. They didn't have the excitement they had other places. But in Nazareth, everybody that came to Jesus for help got help. So like I said, what we're talking about tonight is, what does God look like? What does Jesus look like? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And this one account that I read tonight, which was one of 20 accounts of Jesus' ministry, that's what God looks like. You examine these stories and you see what happened. One thing is, there was miracles. Everybody say miracles. A miracle, you know, one of Webster's dictionaries says, is a divine intervention on the natural course of things. I like that definition. What was characteristic of Jesus' ministry? God got involved in people's lives. Amen? That's what a miracle is. A miracle is simply God getting involved in somebody's life. So what was a characteristic of Jesus' ministry? What does God look like? He's not a behind-the-scenes God like so many people believe today. He wasn't hiding out in the shadows, but he was a God of overt miracles. Amen. Right out there in front, right where people needed him, right out there in the open. People were being helped. Amen. Another thing I see is these weren't just random supernatural phenomena. Yes, there was miracles, but they weren't just some random things. We see people leaving better than the way that they came in. We don't see people being supernaturally hurt. We don't see people being supernaturally beat down. We don't see depression coming on people. We seeing people come hurt. We see people come broken. We see people come beaten down, and they leave better than the way that they came in, changed by the power of God. This is what God looks like. You see, there's a lot of misconceptions about it. Some people think that all the horrible things that have happened in their life, that's what God did. But that can't be true, because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's not what God looks like. God's not a murderer. He's not a killer. He's not a rapist. He's not an abuser. That didn't happen in Jesus' ministry. And Jesus said, look at me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You don't see Jesus beating out people's brains with a steel club. Amen. You don't see Jesus knocking out people's kneecaps. You don't see Jesus burning down people's houses. Everybody that came to Jesus left better than the way that they came. That's what God looks like. I like one preacher said, it's a kind of a good thing. He said, even the wise men left a different way than they came when they came to see Jesus. Amen. But that's what God looks like. That's what God looks like. What does he look like? People were helped. People were better. How many have found this to be true? That you've been helped since you've known him. And this is what God looks like. It's been such a misconception. Some people think, well, I know what Christianity is like, and I've got an idea of it, or I know what God is like, and I wouldn't want to serve the God of the Bible. He's, you know, this and the, you know, a God that would send somebody to hell. Well, God doesn't send anybody to hell. So I can't see how a loving God would send anybody to hell. A loving God doesn't send anybody to hell, but a loving God made a way so that nobody has to go to hell. It was the loving God he doesn't send anybody to hell. It was a loving God who made a way out of hell, so you don't have to go. Amen. That's what he did out of his love. And like we said, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Let's look at another passage here. I have three scriptures tonight. Praise God. That's a really high for me. That's a high ratio for, usually it's three words and then I preach the whole, you know, an hour on that. Let's turn to, we're going to stay in Matthew here. Let's flip a couple pages over and go to Matthew 13 and 44. And Matthew 13, 44 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. The which, when a man hath found, he hideth and for joy. I really got to get out of the old King James. I know all these in the new King James. All right, here we go. Again, the kingdom of heaven. All right, I'll read out yours. Verse 44. Amen. Let's try it again. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, and goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Oh, that was a little easier. Praise God. So, praise God. I got my wife's nice yellow Bible now. So the point being, you know, some people think they have an idea of what it's like, you know, what Christianity is like, what it looks like, and they reject it. But they haven't seen it. They don't know what God looks like. Amen. Because if you whenever you see it, your response is exactly like the Bible describes here, this man when he found this great treasure. Amen. When you see it, if you've seen it, then you have the same response as this man had. He says, nothing in my life is worth as much as this. Are you hearing me tonight? And this is, you know, he says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. Jesus said, this is what it's like. This is exactly what the kingdom of God is like. Because when you find it, you say, this is better than anything else I have going. Nothing else is in my life is worth this much. You sell everything you have. Amen. And you say, that's what I want. He sells everything he has. He buys the field for the sake of that treasure that he's found, which is the kingdom of God. Amen. And you see, when you look at Jesus and when you look at what he really looks like, not what maybe you've seen in movies, not maybe what your thinking has been, but when you look at him, what he did for people and what he's really like, don't you realize, can't you see it? That's really what every human being is looking for. Amen. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. And that's exactly what happened in his ministry. People came broken, they came hurt, and they left with life and life more abundantly. Now, we shared the story. I don't know, a lot of you probably haven't heard it yet. But Sunday, Pastor Susie shared it Monday. But Sunday night, in the miracle service, there was a young guy here who had come with Courtney Netzler, and he'd come up from Charleston, and he was in the service that night. If you were here, we had a great time. Praise God. We saw a lot of people healed, backs healed and necks healed, all kinds of good things. Just as a side note, if you have a testimony, we'd love to hear about it. Get it to us somehow. You could put it on our Jeremy Gall Ministries page on Facebook. If God did something in your body, we'd love to hear about it. For just the very reason, like I'm going to share this testimony I'm about to share here tonight. It's amazing what you hear that happens that you don't know about until somebody shares it with you. So people were being healed. Well, this young guy who had come, he did not come to, his name's Vinny, he did not come to Augusta for the purpose of coming to church. He just came to visit, and then he kind of got dragged into church, you know. This is just this past Sunday. Not one, you know, that was not in his plan to come to the church service. In fact, when they first told him, oh yeah, we're going to church, he said, I'm not going to church. And then he just came, you know, he ended up coming to service. Then we had the Sunday morning service. Greg preached the largest part of it, and he, you know, that just blew his mind. He's totally unchurched. You know, he hadn't been in the church in years, and we're talking about speaking in tongues and being filled with the Holy Spirit. That blew his mind enough that he wanted to come back to the night service because he says, man, this is kind of crazy. And he wanted to come to the night service for two reasons. He wanted to hear somebody speak in tongues, and he wanted to see a miracle because we said it's going to be a miracle service. So he says, yeah, I want to come to that night service. We got his attention. Amen. So he came to the Sunday night service. That was the purpose of the service. We're just going to pray for the sick and have miracles and all that. And Jesus always does that. Praise God. It's always the same. So many people were healed. How many people, I don't know if there's anybody here. Anybody here received something from the Lord that night in your body? Just raise your hand as a testimony. Yeah. Well, it's, all right. Yeah. Amen. I remember. Right. How's your back doing? Awesome. Good. Who else? Other hands? Anybody else? Hold it up so we can see it. There was a somebody over there. All right. Good. Fabiola over here. Yeah. Your neck, right? Yeah. Yeah. All right. Great. Yes. Right. Asthma. Amen. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Let's rejoice. Thank God for that. Amen. So, amen. So I want to hear the reports. Facebook, everybody. So anyways, Vinny was in this service. Some of you guys probably haven't even heard that who were here. Vinny was in this service. And if you remember, we ministered to people individually, laid hands on some people. Then we just started to pray some general prayers over the entire audience. And just I endeavor at those times, kind of like Insight students, what we were talking about. Just, you know, if the Lord, just if the Lord has anything he particularly wants to emphasize, and Holy Spirit will help us all when we're on the streets, if you're in the grocery store, whatever, I'm in the service, I do the same. Just give the Holy Spirit his, you know, some room to help out. So just, and so he's just prompting things to me to pray for as I'm praying for everybody in there. Well, meanwhile, Vinny, this totally unchurched guy, he's watching all these miracles take place, and he says, yeah, these people seem pretty sincere. You know, he watched when you were up there and all you folks were coming up and I had you running around the church, and he's saying, yeah, these people seem pretty sincere. They seem like they're honest. They're not lying about it. They're saying pain's leaving their body. They feel better. He goes, but I haven't really seen anything like visibly. You know, he said, but if it happened to me, he says, I think I'd believe it. That's what he was kind of having this conversation to himself. If it happened to me, I'd believe it, he says. So he's sitting there, and almost right about that moment, I just felt prompted to pray for ears. And I said, we're going to minister to, you know, God wants to heal ears in this place, something to that effect. And I just commanded in Jesus' name, ears to hear and ears to open. And at that moment, as he's sitting there, he was deaf in his left ear. And he's sitting there in his seat, apparently from what I understand, not, you know, expecting anything. Sitting there, and as we commanded in Jesus' name, a pop happened in his left ear. And he said it was like you had two earbuds in, and one of them was working, the other one wasn't. And then all of a sudden, the sound comes on and kind of startles you. Well, it startled him so much, he swallowed his gum, he said. And he just kind of, and he, you know, swallowed his gum and just sat there. And God opened up his ear. It's been how long? 5-6 years that he hadn't been able to hear out of that since he was 15 years old. 6 years. 6 years since he heard out of that ear. God instantly opened it as he sat in the chair that night. Amen. Well, then you remember we went on and we prayed with everybody in the seats and we gave people an opportunity to call in the name of Jesus for salvation. And the way he described it, he said, of course I'm going to pray that prayer after what happened to my ear. Of course I'm going to pray it. And he got born again. He called on Jesus' name when we all prayed together Sunday night. Amen. And he was saved. Now then, at the end of the service later, we didn't hear any of this, you know, during the service, but later on after the service, he found Jocelyn and came up to her and he said, boy, he said, you know, shared the story I just shared with you. And he's kind of shaking and even showed us his hand and he's physically shaking. You know, he says, look at my hand. And it's shaking like this. Look at this is all shaking him up. I mean, the fear of God is in him. I mean, seriously, all of a sudden his whole life, he said everything in his life changed at that moment. Well, I want to read you. He sent me an email today and I just want to read a little bit of what he said, if it comes up, hopefully. Oh, for crying out loud. All right, there it is. All right, it was great to meet you as well, he says. This weekend has changed my life, has changed me for the rest of my life. This is something I could never have seen coming, and I am so thankful that it has. I feel so excited about the life and what God has to offer. And to be honest, I want to experience it all. Amen. My life leading up to this point had so many ups and downs that I now realize we're all just part of one big plan. My mind has been blown, and now I feel like a new person. It was a pleasure to meet you, and I will make sure to see you again. Thanks, Vinny. Amen. But, you know, I just wanted to share that in context of he found the treasure. And now he's ready to sell everything he has and buy the field. And whenever you see what it's really like, that's the response. Jesus said, he didn't say this is what it's like. He said, this is what the kingdom is like. Amen. It's not something that you reluctantly say, oh, I guess I have to do this. It's not like you feel like you're going to be missing out on something. It's not like, are you hearing me tonight? It's not like you feel, it's so stifling and it's just not this and it's just a bunch of rules. But when you really see what it's really like, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When you see Jesus, when you see what he's like, you realize that nothing you have can compare. You sell it all and you buy the field. Praise God. Amen. That's what Vinny's saying. He saw Jesus. He sees what he really looks like. Went his whole life with preconceived ideas about the church, about Christianity, about what it's like. But then what happened in his life was exactly what happened, like we read about in the Bible, everywhere Jesus went. And it still happens where Jesus goes and people give him some room to work. That here Jesus came into his life in a real way. Amen. Not just, he didn't just get an idea or a concept. And he said, yeah, I think I could agree with that on an intellectual level. But God showed up in his life in a way that no person could. He healed him, and now he's buying the field. Praise God. Amen. What does God look like? That's what he looks like. Amen. We've got to get all those wrong ideas of who he is, what he looks like, what the kingdom looks like, and look at Jesus, because that's what God looks like. Amen. And when you see what he looks like, see if there's any reluctance there, if there's any, you know, I don't know if this is, you know, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I want to do that. You got to look a little closer because you haven't seen it. Amen. Are you hearing me? Because it's worth everything. It's worth everything you've got. There's nothing you've got that can compare to what God has to offer. Amen. Nothing could compare. You know, Claire Netzler was talking to Vinny and said, you know, your mom loves you and cares about you, but she couldn't do for you what God did for you that night. You know, open up your ear like that. Your family loves you. People in your life love you. But only God could do that for you. Amen. And that's how he wants to move in every one of our lives. Everybody. You know, healing. We've been talking a lot about healing. And we talk a lot about it through the, through these services we're having. We've been talking a lot about healing because Jesus, that was a big part of what he did. It was a big part of his ministry. But if you really examine it, what better illustration to manifest the love of God than to take somebody who's hurting, to take somebody who's suffering, to take somebody who's limited in some way, and then to step into that situation and make them whole. What greater way to demonstrate God's love than that? Amen. You know, I was talking to Vinny after the service that night, Sunday, and he was, you know, shaking up and his hand shaking and stuff. And he told me, he said, I'm not a godly person. He said, I'm not a godly person. I'm not a religious person. I forget the word. It was godly or religious, but he basically was telling me, I'm not a godly person. He said, I'm not a godly person. I said, well, God loves you. I told him. I said, he loves you. He says, I guess so. Amen. But I want you to know tonight, God loves you too. Everybody say, God loves me. And, you know, although it may seem like it in that situation, his story is pretty supernatural. But God is willing to do for you all that and more, every person in this room tonight. Amen? You know, I mean, seriously, that story is fresh. And I know I spent most of the service on that because it just happened. And those are the best kind. Amen? The kinds that just happened. Just happened right here. A lot of you were here the night that that happened. You were right in this room as that was taking place. He was sitting right over here somewhere. We were right here and it happened right in our midst. That's what Jesus did for him, among helping a lot of other people who are back here tonight. How long was it that your back was bothering you? Like 8 years. And Jesus set you free up here, right? Praise God. Amen. Happened right here as we stood here tonight. And I spent a lot of time on that story, but we could take all night tonight and tomorrow and the rest of next week and share stories like this of how Jesus has helped people, because this is what it looks like. This is what he looks like. This is what God looks like. Amen. You know, some churches nowadays, they come up and they got some all kind, you know, a newfangled way that they're going to reach out and they're going to do this and they're going to do that and a new style and a new model, you know, all these new models of ministry. I kind of like the old model. Jesus's model. I don't like some of the new models because they don't look like God. I know what God looks like. And I look at those models and I say, that just doesn't look like God to me. Amen. Are you hearing me tonight? And you know, sometimes we got to look at our own lives. And we got to look, and if the devil's trying to do his garbage and his stealing, killing, and destroying, and the stuff he tries to do to us, we need to look around and say, this doesn't look like God. This doesn't look like what God intended for me. This doesn't look like God's plan for me. We need to remember what God looks like, what Jesus looks like. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. Tells that story like we read in Matthew. Like I said, that's one of 20 general accounts. Take some time, read them. Read those 20 accounts of what Jesus's ministry looked like. I'm sure there's lists on the internet about it somewhere. You can find it. Some Bibles have a list in the back. My Insight students, you have a list in the back of the book that I recommended that you get about healing ministry. But those general accounts, you meditate on them. You look at it. Remind yourself, this is what Jesus looks like. People came to him and they didn't leave broken and hurting. Some of the ridiculous things that people say, you know, people say, the Lord did that to you. Horrible things, like some disease or some, Lord did that to you so you could be closer to him. Or, you know, somebody, well, that was all part of God's plan, you know, somebody hurt and maimed in some way. But that's not what God looks like. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's not what he looks like. He doesn't beat children and abuse people. That's not just not.